Navigating Solo is the official Singles Adult Ministry podcast of the United Pentecostal Church International. Navigating Solo is dedicated to encouraging single adults in every stage of life by using biblical principles to navigate discussion on various topics. Here's your host, Dr. Lorraine Orozco.
Welcome to our Father's Day edition of Navigating Solo, a rewind from 2020. This conversation with single fathers and former single fathers was just too good to not share again. We pray that this podcast with Steve Size, Gary Carter, Greg Albritton, and Luami Diaz blesses you again.
Well, greetings, everyone. Facebook Live. This is Single Adult Ministry of the United Pentecostal Church, and we are so ecstatic to have three great dads, two of them who are formerly single and one who is currently still in the battle. I guess two, if you include myself. But we are here to have a little discussion on what it means to be a single father, maybe have some questions and answers. And these are all great men who will help us tremendously. First, we have Gary Carter, who is the president of Texas Bible College. They're out of Lufkin, Texas. And he was a single dad from 2001 and beyond for several years before he got remarried. We want to welcome you, sir. Thank you so much for being a part of this and helping so many people out.
Yeah, it's just great to be with you today.
Yes, sir. And then we have an evangelist all the way from Alexandria, Louisiana, Greg Albritton, and he's also a single dad. He is actually single fathering now as we speak. And so he's got invaluable lessons and invaluable knowledge about this subject, and I know that he will greatly thank you so much for being a part of this broadcast as well.
Honored to be a part.
Yes, sir. And then lastly, we have Brother Size, and he pastors Bayside Apostolic Center there in Torrance, California, and his wife is actually the National Singles Director, Single Adult Ministry Director of the United Pentecostal Church. And he also was a single father of two, I believe, in the year 2000. He has remarried now, but he has so much that he can give us here. And we honor you and we thank you for being on the show as well, Brother Steve Size.
It's an honor to be here. Glad to be a part of this.
Yes, sir. Well, let's get right to it. I have a question, start with Greg, and I have a question for you. This is one of the questions that is always brought to our attention. And that question is, it feels that there just isn't enough of me to go around. There's only one of me and there's so much of them. So how do I handle this? How do I handle, balancing my time between three, four, two, whatever it is, how do I balance my time as a single father?
That's a great question, and definitely, to me, one of the greatest challenges that I've found in the last year that I've been a single parent dad, between my two daughters that are in their mid-teens and then my little boy that's seven, their needs are so different. And they can come to me, 2 minutes apart. Daddy, I need this. Daddy, when are you going to play? Daddy, I need the Bible quiz. Daddy. Mm-hmm. And it does stretch you. I think an anecdote that I like to use, I saw the comedian at Branson, but I'm sure it's an act that's repeated. But it's the spinning plates where he spins a plate on top of a little pole, and then he puts another plate on another pole, and then he puts another plate, but he has to keep them spinning for them to stay on top. Right. And he gets up to six or seven. That is probably how I would define how I felt most days the last year. Is there more plates spinning, or feels like they are, than I can keep together?
It's a great analogy.
But that's how I feel. But what I've learned is to kind of embrace it. And when it's time to go to bed, go to bed and wake up and spin those plates again tomorrow and just keep doing the best that I can. One day I was looking at a pile of dishes late in the evening. I was frustrated. One of my daughters maybe was going to help me and didn't. And so I'm tackling the dishes. I'm whining. I'm complaining. I'm telling God, here I am with this stack of dishes. I need to be focusing on ministry. And the Lord, in his kind, gentle, authoritative way, said, this is your ministry. And I let that sink and wept, saying, being there for my kids, that is my ministry right now.
Yes, yes.
So at the end of the day, go to sleep, wake up, spin those plates again, and do the best you can.
Man, that is so incredible. I'm reminded, and this isn't even part of the program, but you just sparked something. I'm reminded of when I first became a single father, and I was, you know, at the time I was so concerned with pastoring. I've always wanted to pastor since I was a child. And I remember thinking to myself, they brought me out of Argentina. My divorce wasn't fully finalized. I was still begging for my wife to come, and I was praying and I was asking the Lord, please, you know, don't allow this to happen. But you know, how can I do this? Now I won't have a church. And he gave me a dream. And in that dream, he took me out to the field and said, I'm going to show you who your church is. So I went out and I started running, and I was weeping because I was so excited that I would finally pastor a church. And in the distance, I saw two men who were working the fields, and I screamed out to them and I said, hey, you're my church. You're the ones I've got to pastor. And finally, to make a long dream short, when I got closer, I realized those weren't two men, it was my two boys. And when I looked over to my side, the Lord was next to me in my dream, and he pointed at them and he said, that is your church. That is your church. So, man, that's so powerful, bro. That's so powerful. I have a question for Brother Carter. How do you deal with all the constant advice, you know, people want to give you and they feel the need to give you regarding parenting and being a single parent? And for many of them, they're not even single themselves. How do you deal with that?
Well, I appreciate the question. And I suppose that in life, you have to recognize that there are questions and there is advice that comes with the territory. Like when I became a pastor, there was a lot of folks that gave me advice, sometimes from the ministry, sometimes from the saints who had been in church for a long time. But I looked at that and recognized it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
And there's a way to look at advice. And I think When my wife passed away in 2001 from a car accident, I suddenly was thrust into parenting as a widower. And I've often made the statement, I was a great dad, but I was a terrible mom.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when it came to advice, I realized that people could actually help me. The question really seems to resonate not so much as, I don't want to hear what others have to say in the area of parenting, and even maybe from those who've never dealt or been a single parent. I think the advice is sometimes from the standpoint that, one, we can actually receive some very good advice from people.
Sure.
Two, we'll probably hear information that we've already received before. And three, we become irritated with the kind of advice that is given to us because we know the person may not be knowledgeable in the area in which they're giving us advice.
Right.
So let me give you some advice. And I hope that I'm on the side that will actually help you. I think since it goes with the territory, you just go ahead and receive it. And thank God for those nuggets that people are able to offer you that says, you know what, this actually helped me to be a better parent. Or this was given at the right time that I was able to give instruction to my daughter in such a way that she needed to hear. And so, and those areas where people may give advice that it seems at the moment to kind of grate against you, just remember that they're offering help. Mm-hmm. And in their own way, they want to give you something that can, that they're saying, hey, I don't know what else to do, but here, I want to try. And right. So I really think the problem isn't so much the advice. The problem, the concern may be with how you're receiving it. So yeah. So my advice to you is to, just like I'm giving it right now, receive it and with a grain of salt and thank God for that good advice that's given to you that can be helpful.
Amen. Amen. That's great. Well, Brother Size, let me ask you something. How do you discipline your kids without feeling like you're the bad guy?
You know, Hebrews 12 talks about the Lord's discipline or the chastening of the Lord.
Right.
And the writer says, despise not or don't make light of it, the chastening or the disciplining of the Lord. Because he says the Lord disciplines who he loves. And so if you're, and it goes on to say, and if you're not disciplined, then you are an illegitimate child, you know, and you're not true sons. Mm-hmm. And so I think in the current climate of our society, there is a thinking that parents need to be cool. I know I want to be cool. Even now, you know, where I'm at, my kids, they kind of help me stay cool, you know, or try to be cool, you know, in their own way. Or the need for acceptance to be thought well of by your children or to be maybe the favorite parent, you know, when you're in these kinds of situations. And I understand the need to be loved and accepted, but the necessity of discipline is to deter destruction. That's ultimately what the Bible's talking about. Mm-hmm. And so you want to put boundaries and teachings in place in their life, not for your benefit, but for their benefit.
Absolutely.
You're training them up in the way that they should go. So that way when they get older, they'll not forget. And so I tell this to our parents all the time, you know, don't be afraid to be the bad guy. Don't be afraid to impose these guidelines and these restrictions and these things that are going to benefit them. Or, you know, don't be afraid to hear them say, I don't love you anymore, you know, or, you know, you're not cool. Because that feeling is only temporary, as Hebrews says, you know, that the chastening of the Lord may seem difficult at the moment. So that discipline is temporary. But when you look at it versus the destruction, if I don't discipline and I don't have those things in place and it leads to their destruction, then that destruction most times is not temporary. It's pretty final. And so I think a lot of what we see today is because of, you know, our society's move toward a more lax form of discipline or no discipline at all or a whole different idea of discipline. I think we're feeling the effects of that in today's society. And then just finally, you know, it's an expression of love. When you are feeling like the bad parent, by, you know, imposing these restrictions and all that and being firm in your words and firm in your stand, there's going to be a day they're going to understand it and they're going to realize, you know, thank you, Dad, for not letting up. Thank you for being strong. Thank you for being that. And you know what? There's sometimes that's exactly what they're wanting from you. You know, I remember telling my kids, don't be afraid to use me, you know, to get out of a situation, you know, like say, well, man, I can't go that way because my dad wouldn't allow it. My dad would be upset. So don't be afraid to use me in any situation that you're kind of concerned about or that you don't want to be a part. So don't be afraid to be the bad guy. They're going to love you for it in the end.
Yep. Brother Carter, you had something to add to that?
No, sir. I think that was excellent. Only from the standpoint that you have disciplines in place, but now you're the one that's putting the boundaries there. And so I found out in parenting that just the simple communication, and I may be in a different place. Obviously, Brother Al Britton would be different than me. My daughter was already 15, and so many of the things of the structure was already put in place as a child. And so I think I'm just looking to Brother Al Britton, realizing that he's still formulating these areas in a child's life, and he's putting disciplinary things in place. I'm thankful that Alyssa, at the time, her mother had put some real good, solid guidelines in her life. And like I said, I was not a great mother figure to her, so I needed the help of others to help me in that. But I'm thankful that those guidelines were placed in her at a young age. And so through her teenage years, we could communicate from as adults in that sense. I was still the parent, but I do now. The discipline came from simply, these are what we've always held to, and these will be what we continue to hold to.
Absolutely. You know, what I think that discipline is lacking. If you see some of our current situations right now, you'll notice that a lot of the perpetrators and victims and so forth of all of our social issues right now were fatherless. They didn't have a father at home to give them discipline. And I thank God every day. You know, I had a dad. I experienced both sides of the aisle because my dad never actually spanked me. And yet I was so fearful of his discipline when he would talk to me. I was so scared of disappointing him. And his word was firm. However, my mom did not spare the rod. My mom made up for all of my dad's, you know, passiveness. And so I experienced both sides of discipline. But I absolutely am thankful today that even though I did not understand at the time, I'm thankful that they did place some guidelines and they did place some boundaries. And now, you know, I respect authority. I'm because I respected them, because they taught me to respect them. And it's one of the things that I want to instill in my children. I'm not as bad as my mom. I don't, I've never, my kids are good kids, thankfully. But I tell them even now, you're 17, you know, 6'4", 6'2", 6'3", but I'll still spank your, you know, your backside if I have to, because I want you to make it. And I think it's something that we need. We need to be strong and firm and courageous in this last day that we're living in.
That's good.
Well, let's go back to Brother Greg. And I know that you said, you know, we've discussed how children are our ministry, our first ministry, our primary ministry, our home, our family. But there are also times that you need a little time for yourself. You know, how do you deal with that when you need time alone, when you need time for yourself? While parenting, you do need that. So how do you deal with that personally?
Yes, we all need time to ourselves, or time to clear our minds a little bit and make sure our spirit is pure and just washed in the presence of the Lord, or just being by ourselves. So I flew next to a businessman one time who showed me his life plan, and I knew him, but we were able to talk on the flight. And I remember that he said, "Greg, I have to break my life down into 15-minute compartments." He said, "Some people will schedule by the day, some by the hour. I have to break it down. I may have a 15-minute slot to write." And he said, "So I'll stop and I'll write." And I remember that impressing me, because I might be one that schedules by the week. You know, I'm an evangelist and I work on weekends. And so, but I found that even 15 or 30 minutes can be a blessing. And so during the quarantine and during the summer, my kids have been on summer hours. My quiet time is before they wake up in the mornings. Mm-hmm. And so I'll have that quiet time. And then another thing that I've done, I started last year, 54 years old, but last year I was a first-time gardener, and then just a small garden, but that garden let me work on it. I mean, this year I've added potted plants. So I have two rows of a garden and about 20 potted plants. I don't know why, but I'm enjoying that. But sometimes I'll look at those plants and while I'm out there by myself, see, I'm still on the property. It's not something like golf that, I would love to get to play golf.
Yeah.
Something where I don't have to leave the property, but I'm by myself for that time that I'm caring and doing that. And sometimes I look at those plants and I say, man, y'all don't talk back. Y'all just let me take care of you. You don't complain. And so I think we can find, it may be shorter segments, before my wife passed, I might get a whole day that she would be with the kids and I would just go visit a friend or do something like that. Now I include my children on those type trips. If it's hunting or something like that, fishing, they're well, at least one of them is with me. Mm-hmm. But just a 15-minute stop by the church to walk around and pray. Mm-hmm. I may not have 2 hours, but I have 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Or something on the property. Well, I've mentioned plants, but it could be woodworking or just something that you can go to your shop and say, hey, if you need daddy, I'm right over here. Right, but you're still there. You're still connected. And so that's my thoughts on that. I had to change how I get me time. And then I may get in trouble here, but a good hot bath it's pretty good too sometimes.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. And so just you can be quiet in there too. So. Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm laughing because just yesterday I just moved out to Indiana. And just yesterday I thought, man, what is something I can get into? So I went to this big store. It's like Home Depot out here. I think they call it Maynard's or something like that. I went to Maynard's and I got a bunch of stuff, like a rake. I got weed eaters, all sorts of stuff because I am determined to be a gardener somehow or another. So I'm laughing at that. But let's go back to Brother Size. I've got a question for you. So when you have to split your time, if you're in an arrangement where you have to split your time with your children and they're splitting their time with you and your ex-spouse, there's a tendency to entertain so that they enjoy their time with you. What advice do you have about creating a balance of the time that is spent with them? We all want to have fun, but you also want to be able to kind of do some of the serious stuff as well. So what advice would you have as far as like when you're splitting your time between parents?
I think sometimes there's a tendency to overcompensate, because of what your child is going through. In my situation, of course, in most divorce situations, the kids take it on the chin because it's, it's everything they've known and everything they've had. And now it's, it's in disarray and it's every which way and it's in a lot of pieces. And so sometimes we tend to overcompensate and want to do more than probably we should as far as the entertainment part. We want to do all that. We were and we have always been a family that had annual passes to Disneyland. We would save up all year long and buy those passes. So Disneyland was always one of the things that we used to do. And so my advice to that is simply this. I remember I tried to keep all the family traditions in place. I wanted there to be as much normalcy as I could muster. And I remember even like youth conventions and all of that. And then of course, when you go to the first youth convention, after all this has happened, I remember sitting them down and I think kind of going back to what Brother Carter was saying about advice people giving you. I remember sitting down with them and telling them, hey, look, people are going to say things. And I think, I think their heart is right. And they're wanting to help in one way or another, but it may hurt you and it may offend you, but try to have those special days. If you schedule them in advance, we're going to do something different there. We're going to go, take a trip. We had an annual after the school year trip that we always kind of kept in place. And even after it was just me at that point, I try to keep those traditions in place and then still have the special days. But what I realized is when they're with you, that's exactly what they want. They want to be with you.
Right.
And it's funny because me and the kids, we kind of have our own language sayings that are unique to us from things that have happened or things that we have heard or, you know, certain lines from maybe a comedian we've listened to or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people will hear us interacting that way and they'll see us laughing about a certain line and, you know, they're kind of scratching their head, shaking their head saying, what's so funny about that? But it's that common ground we have. It's those things that we have developed in our time together,
right.
that, you know, have just, you know, made us who we are. And that's the insight, that we have with each other. But lastly, I'm just going to tell you my story. My dad was a barber. My mom worked graveyard at Motorola growing up, and that way we wouldn't have to have a babysitter. But because dad was a barber, he had Mondays off. And so I remember there were a lot of Mondays, at least once a month, maybe sometimes even twice a month. Mom and dad would go get us and take us out of school early. They'd load us up in the car. There's a little town outside of Phoenix called Apache Junction. Mm. And we would drive 30 minutes out to Apache Junction, get an A&W root beer, and then turn around and drive 30 minutes back on a Monday. Mm. You can ask me all the gifts they got me in my childhood. You can ask me about all the things all the places they took me to. But the thing that stands out the most are those Mondays. Going out to an A&W 30 miles away, drinking a root beer float. I remember that was our deal. And then turn around coming back. Mm. So don't despise those times where it's just you and them, because you're filling their life with memories they'll never forget.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
I think one of the main things as well, man, I think we get so distracted so many times while we're, you know, having time with our children. And it's so easy to get, you know, into your phone and start doing business and emails and social media. And by the time you know it, man, you've only got so many hours, so many days with these children. And they're out here. I think you should not waste your time, just put them in front of a TV, you know, or put them in front of social media or whatever. Spend some quality time with the kids that you have during that time that's, you know, a little portion of time that you do have. That's something that I would advise. Yes. Brother Carter, I'm coming to you. I have the last question here for you, and that is, someone said, I am a father of a teen girl, and I'm struggling with feeling inadequate in answering her questions or feeling like I'm meeting her needs. Should I be turning to a female for help? This is a single father, and he's asking for help with a teenage girl and how to go about that.
Well, this is the one question I really wanted to address, because I was the father of a teen girl who had lost her mother. And I was a father who felt inadequate in taking care of this young 15-year-old girl. But I want to say, now that I have 19 years of looking back, Alyssa and I have an incredible relationship today, to the point that we talk nearly every day. And so the first thing I would say to you as a father is that this is an opportunity to bond with your child like never before. Mm-hmm. And Brother Sides, Brother Britton both have said, and you too, Brother Diaz, is that this is a time for quality. And so I haven't got to whether you need to get a lady's help or not just yet. But mm-hmm. I would say that what a listen I did. I realized right away I was going to need to get into her world and she was going to need to get into mine. So I went to a lot of Christian concerts that was not necessarily my genre, but it was her genre. So therefore I sat beside her and let her bring her friend. And she's a sports fanatic today because her daddy likes Texas A&M or baseball or whatever. But not only Bible quizzing that we had that as a common bond, but we added new bonds in our life. So that when we get on the phone today, you can tell I'm passionate about this, so that when we get on the phone today, we have things to talk about and we're very open. So let me answer the question about should I turn to a female? Well, she's a teenager. You can turn any female you want, but she's only going to accept the one that as she actually gravitates to. So I've learned that in some ways, I just need to be dad. And as the teenager is finding her way, I want to make sure she's being directed to those in her life. But believe it or not, they're out there. And they'll usually gravitate to her. And when they do, she'll bond. And so Alyssa has pastor wives who talk to her because they knew her mother. Right. Or she has people within the church that know how to give her that certain word at a certain time. I didn't help her with her hair or pick out her clothes and all those things. Like I said, I'm not a very good mom. But I did realize that she was in that age, as the question asked about a teenager. She was in that age that she was going to find herself. But what she really needed, she needed a dad that was there. A dad who loved her unconditionally. And so I was able to give that to her for 19 years. And so I will finish that with this statement. I did not direct Alyssa to particular ladies, but I am thankful for those who spoke into her life and to continue to be a role model and a friend, and especially my wife, Cheryl. I'm remarried, and Cheryl, Alyssa loves, because Cheryl never pursued me. Cheryl was a lady the entire time, and to this day, Alyssa loves her for that. I discovered that let God bring women into your teenage daughter's life, but you be a dad. And you do that, that's the best thing you could have.
That's good. Man, that is amazing. Greg, you've got anything to add to that? I know are you in the same boat?
I mean, I'm 1 year in this journey. What I've done is some of my daughter's best friends through Bible quizzing from around the state and then from our local church. Two instances, I've just had a couple conversations that kind of evolved, like Brother Carter mentioned, people that were already in her lives, godly ladies. And I just let them know, you have my permission to speak into my daughter's life. And when she's spending the night with your daughter, when she's hanging out, feel free to invest in her life. So I've not taken it further than that, but I've given a few my blessing, just saying, invest. She doesn't have a mother. But I want godly ladies in our life. So thank you, Brother Carter. That very much ministered to me. Amen. What you just spoke on. But that's how I've gone about that.
Amen. Well, as we bring this to a close, I want to kind of ask all three of you a bonus question here. And just a short answer will do. But considering our current climate in our nation right now, I think that one of the things that single parents want to know is, how can we do a better job of teaching our kids to respect, to love all, to avoid racism? And how do we navigate these uncertain times right now in a church? And how do I teach my kids now? Anybody want to take that on first or say anything about that?
Well, I'm on a personal mission, and that's whether it's Walmart or yesterday, the cleaners. If it's an African-American and whether I'm by myself or my kids are with me, I look them in the eyes before I leave and I say, hey, I want to tell you something. I love you. And it has opened up some of the most beautiful conversations. And yesterday my little boy was with me and he's like, Daddy, I said, I just wanted that lady to know that we loved her and that she's awesome. And so trying to share with that. And then my 16-year-old, her best friend, they pastor in Louisiana, is an African-American family and her best friend. And so we have open conversations and just want to keep open conversations. We've had discussions in the home, the difference between racism, prejudices, culture, and trying to have them understand that. So just, I don't know if that answers your question, but we're just trying to make it part of the conversation.
Absolutely. That's great. Any of you great men want to tackle that?
My brother's eyes will.
I'll get into it. Coming from my neck of the woods, Bayside Apostolic Center, our church, has been so diverse, I mean, since its inception. And of course, with Deb and I, you know, it starts with us as far as the diversity. So the way we've operated in our church and the way it's always been is that the common ground with everybody, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of your skin color, regardless of, you know, whatever background you have, the common ground is of course Jesus Christ, and of course his love. You know, and you know, people say, well, you know, we're colorblind, and I don't know if I really go for that particular term as far as being colorblind. It's not that we don't see color. We see color. We see the diversity. We see, but we embrace that. We embrace their everything that is about them, everything they bring to the church, everything they bring from their dress, from their culture, from their food. You know,
I embrace all of that.
Yeah. so you know, for us, you know, it's that common ground of love that says we embrace you wherever you've come from, whoever you are. You know, our common ground is Jesus Christ. He's the one we try to emulate. He's the one we're shooting for, and based on that love, you know, we just try to be as cohesive as we can in the church. So that's how we're trying to implement that. And of course, racism does exist. There's no denying that. You know, it is definitely an issue. But in order to change that, in order to fix that, it's got to start right here. It's got to start in our heart. Starts in our minds. You know, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's how we deal with it out here in LA. Amen.
That's beautiful.
Well, I would say for me, it's just been a personal journey. And when I was 17 years old, I joined the United States Navy. And so automatically within the military, there is this interracial working together with, which was incredible. And so when I came into the church, I was saved in Natural City, California, which is a multicultural church. And so my life became just one that was integrated with all. And so that's how I've lived. So now as president of Texas Bible College, we welcome everybody into our school. And there's really not a lot of discussion upon race. And I recognize that people feel familiarity and comfort with those of their nationality. And yet when it comes together in an atmosphere like Texas Bible College, it's a family atmosphere where everybody feels a part. And that's what I also love about our singles ministry, nationally as well as locally, is that people are single and therefore they come in. So I don't really recognize, but I do want to say that it is an issue that needs to be addressed from the standpoint that we can't erase the hundreds of years of America, you know, racial insensitivity and all. And we do need to recognize that there are injustices that have been done. But at the same time, we want to address them in a way that's profitable for everybody so that our nation isn't torn apart. But yet we're recognizing that there needs a feeling and a coming together. And I believe that this crisis can be a time that we can come together as a nation as long as the right voices speak together to bring it about to pass. But I think that's happening when we are open to the discussion and recognize that there have been injustices. But along with that, there are people that are saying, but we want justice to be done and love to be shared.
Absolutely. I speak for myself. We just got back from Pearland, and there's a little pocket in Pearland that is very, very diverse. As a matter of fact, maybe more African American than anything else. And that's exactly where we lived for the last 3 years or so. And now we just moved out to Fishers, Indiana. You know, we're helping a church out here, and also going to continue to travel some. But now I live in a community that's 88% white. And so I've brought my children out this way, and it was so cool to get here and have all my neighbors come out. And some, I don't know if it's because of the current climate or if this was just, you know, normal them. It seemed like it was just them, you know, but they came out, brought us water and introduced themselves and loved on us and stuff. And it was a great teaching moment, for my children, you know, that this world is not as bad as the media is proclaiming. Yes. Yes, there are injustices that happen to this day, and our history is littered with injustices, but man, we have come a long way, a very long way. The very fact that I'm able to live in a neighborhood like this, and that I'm able to travel and have some of the benefits of capitalism in this nation, and freely go and freely come, you know, is a testament that to the fact that we have come a long way. And that's what I try to instill in my children, that yes, there are injustices and we must fight against those injustices based on truth. But also we must acknowledge that we have come a long way, and we continue to grow, and we're continuing to get better. Amen. Well, I'm so happy that we got to do this, and we got to talk to you guys. And I hope that anyone that's listening right now, that you were ministered to it. Hopefully some of these answers were beneficial to you. And please follow us on Single Adult Ministry. Look up our website, follow our page. We're going places. We're doing great things. And August 1st, we're going to have our first online, it's a virtual national singles conference, and it's going to be incredible and powerful, so you don't want to miss it. God bless you all. Happy Father's Day to you all, and I pray that you are blessed by this. Why don't we have a time of prayer just to end it all and to pray for all single fathers out there. Brother Greg, why don't you lead us in that, and we'll close this out with that.
Lord, we honor you. We worship you. We exalt you. We give you glory today. David gave high honor to you, Lord, when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." David was a shepherd. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I know what it is to be a shepherd." And he said, "Lord, you're my shepherd." Mm-hmm. Well, Lord, I'm a father, but I can say you're my heavenly father. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for being my father. I know even seems like even more this last year, the stresses, the challenges, the journey of being a good father and being a godly father. And I just want to thank you for being our father, that covering, that undergirding, that protection, that provision that you provide. Put it in our hearts to provide to our children and our families. Lord, I honor you. I pray over my friends today. I pray over everyone watching this. Lord, let fuel come into their lives. Amen. I've received strength from this today. Yeah. Yeah. I've received knowledge and information that will help me today. I pray everyone listening receives, as Brother Carter mentioned, a nugget, receives something that fuel that can nourish them and guide them on their journey. We give you glory. I pray strength to every home unit, every family represented by watching this video. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you all, and thank you so much for participating.